Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Godfrey Spence. How are you, Godfrey?
Okay, thanks, Chris.
Excellent. I'm pretty good as well. You were the tutor, one of my tutors when I did WSET, if I recall.
Yes.
I bet you don't recall ago. Me.
I recognise the face.
That's pretty good. But one of the things is that you do a lot of WST courses.
I still do, yes. Yeah. I used to work there full time, but now I'm freelance, but I run their courses.
All over the place?
All over the place, yes.
Perfect. What I want to do today is talk a wee bit about the WST Level 2 SAT, or Systematic Approach to Tasting. But before we get into all that sort of stuff, what's the name of your company that you doesn't?
The Wine School.
TheWineSchool.com.
Yep. With hyphens, because somebody else had nicked the Wine School without hyphens first. I run courses in London, and I also run courses for other APPs, more approved program providers. Yes, more acronyms. In France, in Taiwan, in Belgium, and I get around. Really? It's
and the courses you run, level one all the way up to level four. Which is, did you do level four diploma?
You can't do level four because I'm in London and the trust does that anyway. So I couldn't compete with the trust in London if I were outside London. Maybe I could, but. Couldn't do that. Level one, I do if people insist.
You don't really want to.
But I prefer to do two and three. Yes, yeah. I have my own one-day course, which I think is probably more fun than the level one.
We do that. We do the level one because I think it's a nice way, if people don't know anything about wine, to get into it. But we do a one-day wine course as well, which is a lot more practical for most the general public.
Yeah.
You know, not everybody needs to know how many milligrams of alcohol in a unit of alcohol. And quite as useful. But level one's okay. But level two and level three is where you're at, is it?
Yes, mostly.
Excellent.
So just doing a level two course this morning for a restaurant group in London. So
yeah, so a lot of private stuff. Do you sell tickets to let people come along individually? Or do you run them like, you're going to run a level two in London on this day and you can buy tickets to attend?
To a certain extent, most of what I do is in company training. But yes, I do separate level twos in Norbiton and in central London as well, and hopefully a level three next year if we can get numbers.
It's always tricky, isn't it? We just ran a level three for people, all comers, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good, but it was my first time I ran it, and it was quite hard work.
It is quite tough, the level three, especially if you're doing it all on your own. It's
so I was doing 2 days prep for every 3 hours of presentation. I did more study than the students.
Probably, yes. It's the best way, I think.
Yeah.
You know, if you're actually asked to teach something or write something, you actually learn a lot more than if you're studying it yourself, I find.
True. You can't just sort of skip chapters.
No.
We're not going to cover Spain today. Mañana. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the SAT anyway, or as they call it, the Systematic Approach to Tasting.
Mm-hmm.
And from my recollection of it, it's a way of categorising wines, really, isn't it? Or writing a systematic tasting note.
Yes, the idea originally was to write, so build up your own library, if you like, of tasting notes, so that when you came to blind tasting, you could think back, well, hang on, it's very aromatic, it's sort of gooseberry and green and grassy and high acid, and could that be Sauvignon Blanc or whatever? So the idea is that it is a learning aid. And if you write full detailed systematic approach tasting notes, then that will build up into quite a useful library for study later.
Yeah.
For level two, of course, there's no real tasting in the exam.
No.
There is theoretical tasting.
Yeah. Well, you might get asked, what does a XYZ taste like?
Yes, well, you will be asked. It's there are two wines at the end of the paper. There will always be questions 48, 49, and 50 refer to whatever, a Grand Reserve, Red Rioja, or whatever. And then typical colour will be A, B, C, D. Typical dose will be A, B, C, D.
Yeah.
But, of course, there's no actual wine in front of you, unlike the higher levels.
Yeah, although it is quite nice to at least it gets you thinking about wine in a structured way, which is quite nice.
Yes, and then it builds into level 3 and level 4, where, of course, blind tasting is a vital part of the exam. You have to pass the blind tasting bit.
Yep.
It doesn't matter how good you are in theory. If you don't pass the tasting, you don't pass. Yeah. So,
although a lot of people pass. I was looking at the pass rates for the level 3 tasting paper, and it's in the 90s anyway. It's
yes.
It's the highest part of the three secret sections. Thank goodness.
Yes. Yeah, so we'll talk about level 3 afterwards. But
Okay, let's look at it, though. The way it's broken out is into four parts, really. It's got your eyes, nose, and mouth, and then some sort of conclusion.
Yeah.
One of the things that I always think funny is in the eyes, they divide it up into clarity, intensity, and color. So color is pretty easy, normally white, red, rose, but it's a bit more than that. But clarity, that's always a givey point, isn't it? It's like if you don't write clear, you've missed a point.
You've missed a point, absolutely, yes. having said which, I always used to say exactly that. You know, this is an easy mark. It's going to be clear, end of. But of course, now with the fashion for natural wines, there are some that aren't clear.
Yeah.
You know, there are the occasional cloudy wine. Previously, absolutely, if it wasn't clear, that's where you stopped. You know, you didn't bother to smell it or taste it because you knew it was off.
Yeah.
Unless it was an old red that should have been decanted and hadn't been, or...
Although that said, one could argue that if a natural wine's hazy, perhaps you should stop there as well. So, okay.
My views on natural wine, I think you should just stop anyway, but don't tell Isabel I said that because she won't like it.
You're talking about Isabel Leisure on there. Yeah, we've had her on the show, but we haven't talked about natural wine on the show with her.
Oh, right. Yeah, she's a great fan.
So normally clear, hazy, it's always going to be clear.
It's going to be clear. One thing that does confuse people sometimes is... not so much with white wine, of course, but with red wine. If you have something like a young Barossa Shiraz, which is so deep it's verging on opaque, is it clear or isn't it?
True, because you can't see through it.
Can't see through it, yes. It's clear in the sense of not being hazy.
Yeah, or at least there's no... I always think of it a bit like, you know, sometimes when you get a soluble that's got some insoluble stuff in it and it's... there's like a almost like a pigmentation that's not the right colour.
Just a little bit of haze in the wine. I think the wine tasting is about the only place where something can be clear and opaque at the same time. That the trust uses the word opaque, but that something that is very deep isn't not clear.
Okay, intensity, pale, medium, or deep. At level 3, they've given out a really handy colour chart, which is quite good. I use things like, can you see the stem and things like that? What do you use for white wines and red wines to work out if it's pale, medium, or deep?
Yes, well, red, of course, in a way is easier because, if they're very deep, you can't... a standard tasting measure in an ISO glass, can you see the stem or not, looking straight down on it. With white, of course, you always can. I don't know of any white wine that's so deep you can't see through it, but you can still be very deep for a white wine.
Let's stay with red, though, because it's easier. So... Mm-hmm. So you would say deep if you cannot see the stem at all?
Yes.
That's it. Just can't see the stem, it's deep. Yeah. What about pale to medium, though? Because that's sometimes...
Bear in mind, you are talking, obviously, about red wine. So you're looking within the context of reds. If you have something like a Pinot Noir from a fairly weak vintage or something, that's going to be pale.
Mm.
There are some things like a Chilean Merlot will vary. You know, a lot of the basic ones that you might get in... supermarket special offers will probably be medium, but the premium end ones are going to be deep. So,
what I tell people with pale is, if you hold it up and you can look through the core and read the text,
underneath. Yeah, that's a good trick. Actually,
then
yes.
If you can read it clearly, then it's pale. And if you can see the text but you can't quite make it out,
then it's medium. That's a good system. Actually,
that'd be all right for people. Yeah, because that otherwise you get a bit, not quite sure. Okay, no, that's cool. And what about white wines? Because white wines are a wee bit tricky because you can always see it. You can always see through them.
Yes, so then, we're looking at relative depth. So something like a Pinot Grigio or a Gavi or something or Muscadet is always going to be obviously very pale. Mm. Although I had a wine at the New Zealand tasting yesterday, which was even paler than those.
Oh, okay.
New Zealand Sauvignon, that first time I ever picked up a glass of wine and thought, is this water in my glass?
Oh, really?
It's so pale, it's unreal. But, and then deep, well, you really only get deep when you get to things like Sauternes and Tokais and sort of deep golden colours.
Or maybe some old oaky Chardonnays.
Maybe, if you've got a lot of age, but then how often do we get to taste those? It's on our courses anyway.
Okay, the way I kind of think about it is I try and look for the pigmentation in the glass.
Mm-hmm.
And if the pigmentation goes all the way to the edge, then I normally say it's deep. If you can't see the pigmentation, it's pale. Mm. And if you can only see the pigmentation around the center of the core, you know, when you're holding the glass on a 45 degree angle, you're looking around the oblong and you're looking through the deepest part. If you can see the pigmentation, but it's only around there, then I would say it's pale.
And then
if it's about two thirds to the core, then it's medium-ish.
Yeah.
Because you can often
medium-ish, I like that. That's hedging your bets, isn't it? Not even sure if it's medium.
No, I'd call it medium. I'd call it medium at that point. But,
but all white wines are going to have a watery rim.
Yeah. Some of the deeper ones, it goes pretty much almost to the...
Almost, I suppose,
a mil or two from the edge.
Yeah.
So is that a fair way of doing it, or do you think...
That's quite fair. And the other argument, of course, with white is exactly what's the difference between lemon and gold?
And green lemon as well. Is like,
yes.
Oh, no, we only got lemon and gold here, haven't we?
Do you not have lemon green?
No,
that's on level three, yes. Yeah.
Lemon gold. Yeah.
But certainly, some wines do have a distinct greeny tinge, a typical Loire or Alsace white.
Mm.
And a lot of New Zealand Sauvignons are greeny. Rather than just straightforward lemon.
Yeah.
But hey, let's leave that to level three.
Yeah, we'll get onto that one. But so lemon and gold, so that's quite a tricky one. Is it more about the intensity, or is it actually the pigment colour difference?
It is actually the colour. If you look at, it's the level three, but that colour chart that they issue for level three, there is a difference in colour. But a pale gold is always going to be deeper than a medium lemon.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to get pale gold that is as pale as Muscadet.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen.
So how do you, it's got to be done on pigmentation. So
yes, it's the actual color. And of course, in that case, lighting comes into it. So having good natural light, ideally, not so easy if you're doing an evening course in the autumn, but.
Yeah. Well, we do our vents and addendums, and I've actually ended up bringing up lighters and all sorts of stuff to get enough.
Because are you in a cellar somewhere?
And it's just a nightmare getting enough light. So. But well, it's all right because we've solved it with uplighters. And I bought lots of bulbs, which I then unscrew because I want natural light rather than warm white. And what about rosés? Because you get pink, salmon, and orange. Now they're more heading towards brown, aren't they? So
that's right.
That's more of an indication of age, isn't it?
Age or sometimes region. So something like a Provençal rosé can be quite orange even when it's young. But of course it's very pale.
Is that a function of the winemaking technique, oxidative winemaking technique?
I don't know if it's a winemaking technique or the grape variety, the fact that it's mostly Grenache and that doesn't have a lot of colour. But I had a rosé this morning, of course, I was doing. It's a Tempranillo from Spain. I've had Burgundian Pinot Noirs that were deeper in colour.
Yeah.
This was a really frighteningly deep colour rosé.
There is a fine line between the two, isn't there?
Yes. Apparently there is no legal definition.
Oh, really? Between
rosé and red?
It's whatever sells most.
There's no actual sort of scientific way of measuring it that says that's a rosé, not a red.
Mm-hmm. The rosé colour's a bit easier, isn't it?
The colours are nice and easy, yes.
Yeah, pink, salmon, and orange. Orange is pretty obvious. Pink's fairly obvious. And salmon is quite an orange colour.
Yes. It's sort of between the two, really. You know, if it's vivid Barbie pink, then it's pink. If it's orange, it's orange. And if it's between the two, it's salmon.
That does sound a bit of a cop-out, doesn't it? Okay. And then the reds are easy because it's purple, ruby, garnet, and tawny. So purple is... Well, I sometimes get trouble between purple and ruby because ruby, I would say, is if there's no blue pigmentation. If you can't see any blue pigmentation, then it's got to be ruby.
Yes. Yeah. And as far as I'm concerned, if you've got any blue at all, then it's purple. I know most red wines, of course, are the commercially available stuff are sold young anyway, so a lot of them are more towards the purple part of the spectrum.
Except for Sangiovese.
Sangiovese or Nebbiolo or whatever.
Whatever you're selling to the Americans is your Montalcino.
But there is some discussion between tawny and garnet as well. If you get something like a Barolo,
yeah,
A lot of people might describe that as tawny. To me, and I say this as somebody who's probably drunk more port than most people I know, particularly tawnies. You know, Barolo is garnet, not a standard, unless it's particularly old vintage.
I always think of garnet as if it's mainly brown, but there's still a little bit of red in it, then it's garnet. And if there's no red and it's all brown, then it's tawny.
Right. I tend to... To me, even tawny has some red, a little bit of red. Otherwise, we're into the sort of ambers and so on. You know, if you have a very old, say a 20-year-old or 30-year-old tawny port compared to a sherry, similar depth of colour, you can tell which one started off as a white wine and which started off as a red wine.
Okay, yeah.
So there is something in there that tells you it's a red wine.
Would you say tawny, like mahogany, has got a quite a reddish tinge?
Yes, absolutely,
to it?
Yeah.
So would you say a tawny is more like a mahogany
colour? More mahogany than, say, aged pine, yes, whereas an amber sherry or Tokaj or something, there is clearly no red hint in there.
Yeah, okay, so there's got to be a hint of red to go to tawny. Okay, but at level two, that it doesn't matter because there's nothing after tawny. So if it's really just brown and there's no red in it, the only place you can go is tawny.
It's tawny, absolutely, yes.
So a touch of red is tawny. Would you say if it's more...
I think if it's more red with some brown, then it's garnet, you know, an orangey rim or something, but clearly still a red wine, that is garnet.
And if it's more brown with some red, it's tawny.
Yes.
Or even brown. And ruby is red.
It's red, no absolutely, blue. Yes. But we can't just call it red because obviously all red wine is red.
Yeah, exactly. Someone to have a good old laugh at that one. Okay. And that's the eyes, really, isn't it? That's the appearance for the level 2 SAT. So, okay, I'm going to have to wrap the show up here and we'll continue with this next week.